We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome back, Hogan Johns. Hope you're having a good week. Earlier this week, we broke down the Bears' offense. Now we break down the Bears' defense as we roll on with our training camp preview episodes. Adam Hogan, Adam Johns here with you. Episode 98 of the podcast. Almost getting to that 100 number. And we're working on something special for you guys for our 100th episode celebration. So,
what are we going to do after the numbers?
Little tease.
Letters?
Letters. Yeah, we'll just go 26. To Roman numerals or something like that. This is the Brian Robinson episode.
No respect or love for my guy, Corey Wooten, huh? One of the nicest guys.
I have a lot of respect for Corey Wooten.
Northwestern guy. You should have given him some love there, man.
You are right now. Brian Robinson was a good player. He blocked Ryan Longo's field goal in the Walter Payton, the game after Walter Payton.
Yes.
And then he unfortunately passed away last year.
Yes. That was a story.
So, RIP Brian Robinson. We are going to talk about defensive linemen here as we jump into the defensive podcast, I guess we call it, as we break down training camp. And this is defense is interesting because a lot of competition, and yet I have 10 of 11 starters as locks right off the bat. And I'll explain as we go here.
Okay. We'll go.
But that includes Danny Trevathan because I don't know. So
come on, he's starting the training camp on the PUP list.
Right. And maybe even the regular season. But he's so 42 defensive players on this roster right now. 12 of them are locks in my opinion.
All right.
That includes Danny Trevathan, who may be on the PUP list, so that could end up opening up another spot. We'll see. So anyway, defensive line. Let's start there. Let's start with their defensive ends. Akeem Hicks at the defensive end position is my only lock.
Not even Jonathan Bullard? You're gonna cut a guy a year after taking him in the third round?
I am if he looks terrible in camp. I am if he looks like he can't adjust to the NFL game. This was a guy whose whole game was supposed to be get off and anticipating snaps and being quick off the line, and he struggled. With speed. Yeah. He struggled with speed last year. So if his game wasn't strength, it was speed. Now, I'm not saying he can't play. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He didn't play a lot last year. But that worries me because he looked like at the time as one of the guys who was going to contribute early, and then he kind of got to camp and it didn't really come together. So if he has another camp and another preseason.
I thought he looked okay in the preseason last year.
Oh, I don't remember anything kind of standing out.
I thought he had a good game against the Browns.
Maybe. Okay, that was a fourth preseason game.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't think I'm cutting a guy a year after taking him.
I'm putting Bullard in the category of probably making the team, but I'm not willing to give him a lock. No way.
Is Mitch Unrein probably making the team?
Probably. Not a lock, though. Jay Howard.
He's probably making the team.
Probably make the team, but they didn't structure his contract like he's definitely making the team.
Didn't structure a lot of guys' contracts like they're probably making the team.
But so there's a lot of guys here, and we're just talking defensive end right now, that I could definitely see four guys in Hicks, Bullard, Howard, Unrein that are out there. And then I'm really interested to see what Roy Robertson-Harris looks like after switching from outside linebacker to defensive end. They seemed high on him last year, and then he got sick, and then they kind of just redshirted him.
Yeah, you know, and they're kind of, I don't want to say thin at outside linebacker, but they're old at outside linebacker.
Other than Leonard Floyd, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Pernell McPhee's kind of breaking down. Willie Young, certainly not young anymore. Lamar Houston's got injury.
You're good,
problems.
Man. You're good.
What?
Willie Young's not looking young anymore. Okay.
I didn't even do that on purpose.
Yeah, sure.
He still looks good.
He can still play.
Did I say he looking young?
You used young twice.
Yeah. Willie Young.
True radio man over here.
Willie Young is not young.
He's not young.
He still looks young-ish.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He looks younger than Pernell McPhee and Lamar Houston, but I think he's actually older. So, no, but yeah, that's so it's an interesting move they made there. Eddie Goldman's making the team at nose tackle.
Yep.
They signed John Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
And they have C.J. Wilson, who was
pretty young. He was
fine. But, I mean, they mid-season signed that.
Yeah, yeah. You're keeping probably Jenkins as your backup.
Yeah.
Well, Eddie Goldman, God, if he could stay healthy. The Bears have themselves a player.
Yeah.
A very good player. Just got to stay in the field.
Yeah, and he just had that another one of those ankle injuries last year that just that no one – all these guys had ankles. They just couldn't get right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they came back. They just couldn't get right. So Eddie Goldman needs this. He looked lighter last year. He looked faster. He looked very, very good, and then he got hurt. So that's a big key to the season. I mean, I would probably say that Eddie Goldman is the most important player on that defensive line this year.
That's fair. That's fair.
So,
I mean, Hicks is probably he's coming off a great year
mm-hmm.
last year. I thought a Pro Bowl caliber year last year. But yeah, in terms of potential, again, if Eddie Goldman's healthy, you have a Pro Bowl player.
Yeah.
You just got to stay healthy.
Hicks, it'll be interesting to see if Akeem Hicks gets a contract extension.
I'd sign him.
During camp. He's still only 27.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now defensive linemen tend to break down real fast
yeah.
when they do.
And he's looking to get paid because I don't know if did you see who he signed as his agent?
Yeah.
He switched his agents in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He,
good old Drew, come on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Drew Rosenhaus.
Blanking on Drew Rosenhaus's name.
Which the Bears do have a pretty good rapport with, I have to say.
Yeah, but yeah, he just changed to Drew Rosenhaus. So that obviously he's setting up. That tells you that he's lining up or didn't like the conversations that were already happening and is trying something new. But yeah, it's all about that contract.
Yes, yes, yes.
For Akeem Hicks, who off the last year probably deserves big money. But we'll see.
And this is a guy who had an offer on the table, who took a phone call from Bill Belichick to return to the Patriots, who won the Super Bowl. He said no to him because he likes Ryan Pace's pitch, which is with all
impressive.
You know, Pace gets, yeah, it's impressive. But the guy wants to win. He needs a new contract. I would pay the guy. I think he's a very good player. And he's 27, like you said.
Yeah. So, other than Hicks and Goldman, it'll be interesting to kind of see how this plays out in camp. Bullard's obviously got a lot to prove. Mitch Unrein, you kind of know what he is, but he's a favorite of John Fox's and has been a pretty consistent player. You know, he's not wowing you, but he's pretty consistent.
He plays in special teams, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then Roy Robertson Harris could be a guy who kind of comes out of nowhere to impress. Is Jay Howard healthy?
You know, he was a surprisingly active player in OTAs and minicamp.
Yeah.
I thought they would just completely rest him, let him get healthy for...
It was interesting. He fails his physical.
Yeah.
And then the Bears pick him up, and yeah, he was out there. And
well, obviously, the thing is, like, teams fail guys for different reasons. Obviously, the Bears were more comfortable with what his issue... What was it? Was it back surgery?
Hip
surgery.
Hip.
So, obviously, he needs a zip if he's going to be in the trenches. Every
yeah,
player,
no
yeah.
So, anything else on defensive line? Could be... You know, if those guys stay healthy, it could be a deeper area of the team.
Yeah, yeah. Health is everything for this team, though, just in general.
Yeah, especially on defense. All right, your outside linebackers, Leonard Floyd is probably the most important player on this entire defense.
Mm-hmm.
Really needs to take a huge step forward in year two. Not that he didn't already...
Talk about health again.
Showed plenty of good signs as a rookie, but needs to put together now a full season in year two. He looks to be in tremendous shape. I think he could be poised for a huge year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think I do this annual rankings every year of the 10 most important Bears players for a successful season.
Yeah.
And I am torn with him over number one or number two.
And is the other one Kevin White?
No. Kevin White's not even on the list. Spoiler alert.
Well, that's a terrible take.
No. Mm-hmm.
Read it. How could Kevin White not be on the
read
list?
Read it. Move on. It's time to move on.
You just moved on from Kevin White?
Mm-hmm. In a way.
Wow.
You have to read it.
What do you know that no one else knows?
You can read it in the Sun Times.
Does he have one leg?
Maybe.
Kevin Wayne has one leg. Broken right here on the Hogan Johns podcast. I can't believe Kevin White wouldn't be.
All right. This is a defensive podcast. Don't ruin my story.
All right. I won't do it. I won't do it.
You
all
see
right.
it Thursday online.
Well, if anyone's ahead of Leonard Floyd, I also think you're wrong. he's obviously a lock. Pernell McPhee, do you still put him as a lock?
Yes.
Do you still put Willie Young as a lock?
Yes.
Okay, me too. Those are my three locks. Outside linebacker.
Lamar Houston. Some people had him cut already. I think
he can still play. Yes. When he's not hurt, yes. he's been
yes.
good.
Yes, and the Bears, from my understanding, are very happy with how he looks with his recovery from a second torn ACL. They need pass rushers. The more, the merrier. With all due respect to Sam Acho, great guy, great locker room guy, Lamar Houston's a better pass rusher than you. You need Lamar Houston. You didn't draft the pass rusher.
I agree.
You need him.
Yeah, if so they had drafted more, then maybe he would be more on the bubble.
Yes.
But I think Lamar Houston's on his team.
Yeah, you're probably making the team yeah. list. He's on it.
I think Sam Acho, too. I think this room looks very similar to last year.
Dan Scuda.
They like Sam Acho. Good special teamer, good locker room guy. Yeah, Dan Scuda is the newcomer.
Yeah, that is a Vic Fangio addition there.
Right. So
he's making the team.
So that's six outside linebackers, just like that.
Mm-hmm. Done.
Done. Easy. It's probably the least competition on the entire team right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, because you moved Roy Robertson-Harris out of there. You didn't draft the guy high there.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty self-explanatory. You need them all.
But you're right. They are older. So that's a position to watch going forward. Well, obviously, except for Leonard Floyd. But I think Floyd is definitely a starter. I think they probably still start McPhee if he's healthy. But it's pretty much a rotation.
Well, they got a nice rotation
yeah.
going there. Right?
Yeah.
And I get,
but Floyd is going to be featured a lot more. Don't you think?
Yes, yes. I think you're going to see packages where you see Floyd, McPhee, and Young, and maybe a Houston on the field together. At least three out of the four quite often this year.
That could be fun.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then, okay, so then the inside linebacker situation. I have two locks, three if you're including Trevathan. Trevathan is a lock. He's not going to be off the roster by any means. It's just a matter of if he's on PUP. Jarrell Freeman, obviously still there. And then Nick Kwiatkowski.
I think the only question at inside linebacker, and I think John T. Moo and Jonathan Anderson are serviceable backups, can play well in spot duty, great special team guys, good locker room guys. They fit all the intangible things you want, or that Ryan Pace and John Fox are trying to build here. But the only question at inside linebacker is whether or not Nick Kwiatkowski can play Danny Trevathan. I don't say off the roster at this point, but if whether he can make him a future former Bear rather sooner
Trevathan?
Than later. Yeah.
You know, Pro Football Focus loves Danny Trevathan.
Yeah.
Like
they love Jarrell Freeman.
Like the Bears' defense, though, what was the graph I saw? The Broncos' defense took a huge step backwards, they said, mainly because Trevathan wasn't there anymore.
They get that.
So I don't know about that. I think
he's also coming off a torn patellar tendon.
He's also young still.
So?
I mean, well, obviously it depends on his health. Yeah, I mean, like if he can't play ever again.
Yeah.
And he has had a lot of injuries.
But what if Nick Kwiatkowski is good? Look.
Well, Jarrell Freeman's over 30. I would think Kwiatkowski's pushing Freeman out.
But you mentioned Pro Football Focus. He was one of their highest-rated players at inside linebacker. Better than a Luke Kuechly. I know Luke Kuechly. I can't talk today. I know Kuechly had his concussion issues, but he had a grade, Jarrell Freeman of Pro Football Focus. And I know we have our complaints about him, like a 93.8. And anything over 90, according to those guys in Ireland, is an elite player.
Those guys in Ireland who are
they got deals all over the league right now. So I give them a lot more credit than others in our profession do. But I like Kwiatkowski. Vic Fangio likes Kwiatkowski. called him a very good find for a fourth rounder.
Yeah, Kwiatkowski is your guy. He's kind of like my Hronis Grisu.
Your Hronis
Grisu. My Hronis.
That's good.
Okay.
You don't like him?
No, I did. I like. He made some really nice plays last year.
Yeah.
They won play at the goal line, I remember.
Yeah.
He stuffed the gap. Bam.
Mm-hmm.
It's good instincts.
Mm-hmm.
I like him.
That's
great. I'm just not sure they're ready to give up on Trevathan.
Well, I'm not saying they're ready to give up on him, but if a guy, you see it all the time. The coaches say players can't lose their jobs to injuries, but it happens all the time. It could be a situation like that. Your starting inside linebackers are Kwiatkowski and Jarrell Freeman when training camp opens next week.
Yep, no question about it. All right, so then Jonathan Anderson, and John Timu, backups. Christian Jones, re-signed to a one-year deal.
Oh, he's making the team. He's your ultimate utility player.
Yeah, because he can do outside and inside.
Correct.
And a good special teamer.
One of your best special teamers.
Okay, so then don't you think one of a Jonathan Anderson and John Timu's gone?
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
Okay.
Now, who do you keep? Do you keep the instinctive player or the athletic player? And why are we arguing about this?
I don't know.
Cornerbacks.
One of those two.
And we mean that genuinely. I like John Timu actually a lot.
Yeah, no, it's but they're definitely those. I would actually still say Christian Jones is a bubble guy.
Yeah,
but he does have an inside track because, like what you said, with versatility, and I think it just the fact they brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
I know Christian Jones was a little surprised that they brought him back, but they did, and it was a 1 year deal. But it's
well, his career is setting up to be one of those core special team guys.
Yeah,
wherever he goes, whether it's here or wherever, he's going to be a good special teamer.
Well, and the Bears have gotten better on special teams the last couple of years, and I think keeping guys like Christian Jones, Mitch Unrein, Josh Bellamy, Asherick McManus that we're about to get to in a second, who's in the last year, his deal, I think that there's a lot of value still in that. I mean, let's not forget the third phase. It's important.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears' special teams was a disaster a few years ago, an absolute disaster, and it's gotten better. Now they need to work on the return game. They still need more explosive plays out of the returners. But that's something I think they've tried to address this year. I think they brought in more guys to create some competition at returner.
Absolutely.
But it's important to keep the core, and so you're not giving up big plays on the other end. And these are the guys we're talking about right now. And in fact, Jonathan Anderson and John Timu have been out there doing okay too.
Oh yeah, in that area, very serviceable. Even better than serviceable special teamers. Reliable.
So, but at some point, you can't keep them all.
No.
You know, Chris Brzezinski's another one. You can't keep all of these guys.
Yes.
So, you know, there's probably going to be a tough couple cuts for special teams coordinator Jeff Rogers.
It's good. I don't think he's had many tough decisions since he's got here, especially a returner.
Yeah, well, he's had bad decisions. Not that he made bad decisions, just bad options.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They've finally given him, you know, things to keep him up at night.
Yeah. Well, and it'll be important to watch that. All right, so let's move on to the secondary. At cornerback, you basically have two new starters.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be surprised if they're not the starters. Prince Amukamara and Marcus Cooper, their contracts dictate that they're starters. They're
locks.
Cooper, I think they envision has some upside too for the future, whereas Amukamara is kind of on this one-year prove-it type deal. But he's getting paid with guaranteed money, and he's probably a starter. So those guys are locks. You agree? I have no other locks at the cornerback position.
Well, I think they like Kevon LeBlanc and Bryce Callahan, but you've had a really good feel for the whole Kyle Fuller situation from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just need him to be someone. I don't think he's a personality fit, but again, you've had a good read on this for about over a year now. What do you think?
Well,
it's a first-round pick.
What if Kyle Fuller is all of a sudden getting some snaps at safety in camp? I wouldn't rule that out. They seem to not like him in the nickel. They've kind of made that clear. I don't know how many times I've asked that question because I think he's – I still go back to his college tape, and I think he could do it. But these guys get paid a lot more money and are NFL evaluators, so that's their they've seemed pretty – to draw a hard line there. It seems like safety would be more likely than
well, we'll get this – safety's kind of – I don't want to say loaded because there's a lot of unknowns there, but it's a pretty – it's called a deep competition.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know how Fuller would even like begin to get reps there. So I guess the question then is, I mean, do you keep him as your backup? His money's guaranteed, right?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Well, that's the question. That's the where it gets offsets.
You don't have the fifth-year option. You've already, like, in a way, you've already moved on from this guy. Mm-hmm. It's a bad – the personality fit hasn't –
but there's a
well.
Reason he's still here.
Because the talent.
We all thought at the end of last season that he was gone. That they were going to try to trade him. Obviously, they couldn't trade him. I'm sure they tried.
So they're just giving him a third chance.
But he's here. Fourth chance. He's on the last year of his rookie deal, and the money's paid unless the offsets are there. You know, I mean, but who's going to pick him up? Well, I guess someone is always there to pick him up.
Oh, yeah. Well, totally.
They keep him around as a backup, maybe, because the nickel spot seems to be a competition between Craven LeBlanc and Bryce Callahan.
Right, right. I think they both make the team. One of those guys could be your backup corner.
Who, Callahan or LeBlanc, you mean?
Yeah, they both started games at corner last year.
Yeah.
They don't have the size for it, but if you have a guy out... if Marcus Cooper's out for 2 weeks, Bryce Callahan could be.
I think those guys need to be nickel guys. I mean, they both had.
So is that why you're keeping Jonathan Banks?
Maybe.
You do need depth there.
But I think ideally you'd like to keep Sherrick McManus on the team, though, as a special teamer.
We also saw last year, though, for as great as he was in camp and preseason in the secondary, it's just not him.
Sherrick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not him.
Which is surprising because he's so fast and he's so quick, and you see it on special teams. He's very athletic. But when when Sherrick's been asked to go out there and cover, I mean, it's all about, you know, it's a different game. And everybody's fast and everybody's quick and everyone's athletic, I guess. So that's what's been tough for him. So, and then there's a couple other guys, B.W. Webb. Brought in, we'll have to see how they're kind of a guy like that fits in. But yeah, Kyle Fuller, I think Kyle Fuller is kind of the big interesting question mark from the secondary here. And I don't know. I mean, you look at this group of corners, he does look like he's the best backup option.
You would think he's a first-round player.
Yeah.
And even though he hasn't performed in his career as a first-round player, the talent still says high-round pick. She has to put it all together.
And he didn't play last year.
Which bothered the heck out of the team and Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
Because that was not a major issue.
It didn't seem like it.
No.
It certainly did not seem like it when he had the scope of the knee. But, I mean, it was really a bizarre storyline last season. But he's still there. And they still want him competing. So, and you know what? He's got a lot to play for.
Well, his career.
He might not be completely happy with the Bears, but he needs to play well.
Yeah.
He's got a lot to prove. Yeah. So he better be out there.
Well, in many ways, the Bears could be able to capitalize on that.
Well, that's what I'm guessing is why he's still around.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, ideally, you'd love to see Kyle Fuller push a Prince Amukamara, who's on a one-year, $7 million guaranteed contract. But, you know, the fact that Fuller's lost his job, didn't play last year, knows he could be on the bubble. That would get me motivated.
Yeah. Your career's on the line, not just your Bears career.
I think they've sent the message loud and clear, but they've also, you know, the fact he's still here says a lot too. So that'll be interesting to watch. And then you kind of mentioned the safety spot. Quentin Demps, Eddie Jackson, the draft pick out of Alabama. Those are the two locks I have.
I'll put Amos as a lock.
I don't know about that. I think Amos has a lot to prove. I think Harold Jones-Quarte has a lot to prove. I think Deion Bush and Deion.
You got to keep somebody, though. Beyond the two starters?
Well, there's six other guys that are competing here, and
I don't see
they've
how
all start. They've all started games at some point, and then you add DeAndre Hall to the mix here, who is a corner that you've now moved to safety, which I found very interesting because he looked like he could play corner last year and had the length for the position. So the fact that they moved him says that they really think he could be part of the mix, but then he went out and got arrested in the offseason. I'm not sure how much that actually matters, though. You know, they didn't suspend him. He's still around.
Yeah.
You know, so
maybe some internal fines we haven't learned about. Okay. I do think there's a preference for draft picks. I don't think Ryan Pace is the type of GM who's going to give up early.
We're talking about four fourth-round picks.
Yeah.
Adrian Amos, was Amos a fourth or fifth? Now I'm forgetting.
Fifth.
Deion Bush was a fourth. DeAndre Hall was a fourth. Mm-hmm. So they're all picks except for HJQ.
Right, right. So they're going to make the team.
They can't all make it, though.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
I mean, I would guess DeAndre Houston Carson is in trouble.
Yes. Yes. Of all the picks.
Chris Przinski's got a chance because he's shown to actually be a pretty reliable backup and a good special teamer.
But now you got these young guys.
But you have all these young guys. I mean, you're probably keeping four. Between HJQ, Adrian Amos, Deion Bush, DeAndre Hall, at least one of those guys is getting cut. Yeah, probably two.
We can't lock Hall into being a full-time safety yet.
No. That's a good point.
You know, and I think his versatility could help him either way. And he's also unique in terms of his physical makeup. Like, if you're in a short yardage situation and you need a guy with left tackle long arms to jam somebody, he could be your nice mismatch guy. So I think some of those things will help him. But you're right. Look, I do think there are a lot of draft picks here. I think Adrian Amos still has, like, an inside track to start next to Demps. Maybe it's just the OTAs and minicamp speaking here. But I really do think...
My caution on that one
would
be the name Brock Faerien, who received the first-team reps in OTAs and minicamp and was launched very quickly in the preseason.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying.
Okay, so it's certainly we get indications with where guys line up in OTAs and minicamp, but it's far from making them a lock. I don't think Amos is a lock. I'm also not saying that I think he's going to get cut. I think his job's on the line. I think Harold Jones-Cortez's job's on the line. I think Deion Bush and DeAndre Hall, I think Hall probably is on this team because of the reason you brought up, cornerback, safety. But DeAndre Houston Carson was a draft pick last year, too. He's probably, you know, in trouble.
Let's just say this. The competition they have at corner and at safety, just in terms of guys who have starting experience, guys with potential, guys with physical makeups that are different, different talents, different skills. It's much better than, look, is it a special group? I don't know. Maybe someone will emerge.
I don't know about special.
But on paper, the competition, at least in my opinion, in the entire secondary is better than it has been in the Ryan Pace era.
Well, just look at this. You've seen Craven LeBlanc start and play a lot. You've seen Bryce Callahan start and play a lot. You've seen Sherrick McManus in the past start and play a decent amount. You've seen Kyle Fuller certainly start and play a lot. You've seen Harold Jones-Quartey start and play a lot. You've seen Adrian Amos start and play a lot. You've seen Deion Bush play a decent amount. And he had a couple starts last year,
towards
the end of the year. Okay, you've had Chris Przinski start and play a lot. And then you're adding a guy in here in DeAndre Hall, too. That's a decently big name. I just named a lot of guys there who have played a lot of football for the Chicago Bears. They can't all make the team. Three or four of those guys are probably gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a result of you signing Prince Amukamara, signing Marcus Cooper, signing Quinton Demps, and drafting Eddie Jackson. Four guys who were not on the team last year that are definitely, I have them, all four of those guys as locks. So that's pushing four guys out that have played a lot of football. That's a good thing, though. That's how you create competition, assuming those...
how you create a better defense.
Yeah. So it's how that hopefully they create more takeaways, most importantly. You know, they weren't that bad against the pass last year.
No.
They actually made strides and got better against the pass. They just didn't take the ball away. Mm-hmm. Now, the run defense was suspect. Huge
pass rush was erratic.
Yeah, and I would point to injuries as though, especially, you know, losing Andy Goldman really hurt the run defense.
And you lost Leonard Floyd for a considerable amount of time. Lamar Houston.
So
Willie Young's banged up, yes.
But there's a point here being, and you could talk about more guys across the rest of the defense, Jonathan Anderson, John Timo, we've talked about Christian Jones, potentially a Sam Acho, you know, last year's draft pick and Jonathan Bullard, who I'm not ready to call a lock, Mitch Unrein. There's a lot of guys from last year's defense that, I'm sorry, but a decent amount of them are going to be gone. You got to get down to 90. Mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry, you got to get down to 53. You're at 90 now.
Yes.
You got to get down to 53. A lot of names need to go. And here's what's encouraging and kind of the point we're getting at here. There's a lot less, what I call him on Monday, on Monday's episode, it's actually Jago Joseph. There's a lot less guys like Jago Joseph.
Yes. Yes.
Who you've never heard of, and you kind of, you know, no offense to Jago, I haven't talked to him yet. I'm sure he's a nice guy. but, you know, those are the camp guys, right?
Yes.
Okay. On defense, there's very few of those guys you've never heard of.
I mean, okay, these guys may not be household names, but they've started games in this league.
Yeah.
The football world knows about these guys.
Mm-hmm.
The diehards know about these guys.
Yeah.
And they needed better competition. They did. Now, injuries will be a factor, as it always is, but it will be, as far as, like, in terms, I'm trying to rank the competitions in my head right now. Of course, everybody's looking at quarterback, but that's a different type of competition. I think tight end and the secondary are very, and even receiver to a lesser extent, because you got some older guys, you don't have younger guys like you have at the secondary. Very intriguing competitions. Very intriguing.
At the backup spots, yeah.
Yeah. Well, even get to that final, who's going to start next to Demps? I mean,
I don't know.
The competition for that one spot
is wide open.
Yeah. Even nickelback, you're nickel an awful lot. Callahan and LeBlanc, Ed Donatell likes both of those players a lot. They both flashed.
I think if those two guys are at the nickel in the slot, then they're fine. Then that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's your competition there. If those two guys are playing outside, then you're in trouble. And I think we saw that last year. But you want it to be a competition, too. You know, I mean, last year guys were just sliding in there because they had injuries.
Right.
You had no choice. So, all right. Well, my apologies to Jago.
Django.
I mispronounced his name.
It's okay.
Yeah.
He'll forgive you.
I feel bad.
If you get a chance to talk to him.
I feel bad. I hope I do.
Well, you know what? Now I'm going to hold you to it.
Well, things
you get all training camp.
Things are going to be different this year. We no longer have an hour and a half to stand around the cafeteria and wait for guys.
It's true. Doesn't mean you can't put in a request
right,
for Mr. Joseph.
Yeah, I only have two arms. I actually have two arms, not one. But I can only be. I can only be in one place. If they're going to create a situation where we're supposed to be doing one-on-one interviews while John Fox is still talking, then I'm in trouble.
Yeah, a lot of people
are in trouble. Or the coordinators, which is probably what's going to happen. So, unfortunately, guys like Jago, you know, I hope I meet you, buddy, but I'm not sure it's going to happen.
What'd you call him before?
Dago.
Any other ethnic slurs you want to get in this podcast?
His first name is spelled D-I-E-U-G-O-T.
Okay.
I mean, it was an honest mistake.
It's okay. I expect you to put in a request and apologize to him.
I did apologize. But, yeah.
See, I would say, being a newspaper man, you know, I don't know.
How would you have pronounced it?
I don't know. Dujat?
Okay. I was closer than that. My pronunciation may have been, you know.
Okay, we're making fun of a guy's name now. See what you started?
I didn't do anything. I made an honest mistake, and I apologize like the professional that I am.
Okay. Fair enough. Still looking forward to you talking to him. Camp's a long time.
How big is the rat?
I'm not sure how thick it is, but I think it's probably kind of thick. Yeah.
Camp is going to be fun, my friend.
That will never get old. I'm sorry.
No.
Could Eddie Jackson be starting?
Could be.
Good.
Could.
He could. All right, we better get out of here. It's been fun, though, this week. Previewing the roster, breaking it all down. It's going to be a crazy few weeks. You're gone. You're ditching me.
Yeah, I'm missing the first week of camp for a little family vacation.
What kind of...
out of country.
What kind of work ethic is that?
It is... Hey. we'll make up for it.
Yeah.
We'll make
up for it. But, so, we're going to have a couple guest co-hosts. Probably the first two episodes down in Bourbonnais.
Yes, I will be missing a couple episodes in Bourbonnais. We got a family reunion out of country. So... have fun.
I don't know who it's going to be yet, but we're taking submissions. We're any auditions. We'll figure out who the co-host is. No one can replace Adam Johns.
You should get Dejo.
Is really maybe I will. And maybe we'll make fun of your name,
Jans,
and how it's spelled Jans.
Fair enough.
Like, are you Norwegian?
Swedish.
Okay. So it is Jans.
It is Jans.
Well, why are you pronouncing it Jans?
This is America.
Because you're in Chicago. You got to use your Chicago accent.
There it is.
Yeah.
This is America, Adam. In America, it's John.
Okay. I like it. My name's Scottish. It may not have...
Hogue.
It might not be Hogue. I don't know. But in America, it's Hogue. Most people don't know that's Scottish. I'm not even sure my family does.
We are Americanized. We
I'm a 10th generation American. That's actually true. The Hogues came over in like the 1600s.
Wow.
Like, I can't be more. They came over before America was America.
Now, why aren't the Hogues like the Rockefellers or the Biltmores?
I don't know. Apparently, I know. Why aren't we?
Just saying.
It's a great question.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. What's wrong? Come on. Hogues?
Ancestors.
What are you doing? Jesus. Still hosting this podcast with Jans.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll be back next week. First day of camp. A lot always happens that first day. Ryan Pace will talk. John Fox will talk. People will report. You'll hear from Mike Glennon. There'll be a lot to discuss from that first day of camp. And then practices will start and we'll be rolling. Get right into it.
It's actually going to be an interesting year. It's intriguing.
We're entering our third year of this podcast, too, which is crazy to think about already.
Thanks to Ryan Pace for giving us a quarterback story.
We appreciate all the listeners, and this continues to grow. We love you. We're going to keep it going, and we're going to keep working hard for you this year and keep the momentum going. We appreciate you doing that. This is episode 97 of Hogue and Johns. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Jans, J-A-H-N-S. WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com is where you read us. Find us on iTunes. Tune in. Search Hogue and Johns. Please rate and review the podcast. We will talk to you from Bourbonnais.
I think we gotta come out hard and stay hard.